Thank you for traveling with Amex Platinum. To your right, you'll see Oceanside Relaxation at a fine hotel and resort property. When booked through Amex Travel, you can enjoy complimentary breakfast for 2 and 4 p.m. late checkout. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Sports Illustrated's NBA show, breaking down the latest news, rumors, and everything in between. Here's your host, Chris Mannix and Rohan Lockarty.
This is the Crossover NBA podcast. I'm Chris Mannix. He is Rohan Lockarty. And Rohan, we are coming off a historic weekend in the NBA. LeBron James, already the NBA's all-time leading scorer, passing the 40,000-point threshold. That got me thinking about the most unbreakable records in sports. And there are a whole bunch of them. You've got Wayne Gretzky's 1,900-plus career assists, Cal Ripken Jr., 2,600-plus games played, Ricky Henderson, 1,400-plus career stolen bases. I personally think the most unbreakable record is Joe DiMaggio's 56-game hitting streak. I don't think anyone is ever going to touch that. But do you think that we could see a player eclipse 40,000 points, catch LeBron James on the all-time scoring list? And I say that with the caveat that LeBron's not close to being done. He's probably going to average 20-plus points per game over 60-plus games for the next 2 or 3 years. I mean, this mark is only going to get bigger and bigger. But do you think even in today's NBA, that record is going to be breakable?
Man, it's a great question. I echo you on DiMaggio's 56 hitting game hitting streak. By the way, I do think that one is going to be tough to top. And Cal Ripken, too. Some really good baseball plays from you. I'm impressed. But in terms of LeBron, I'm leaning no. I'm leaning it not happening in my lifetime, at least. Even with the three-point line, even with kind of the extended careers we see players have now. I mean, think about someone like Luka, for example. Luka's, what, close to 35 points a game this year.
Mm-hmm.
He's still going to have to play so much longer to catch LeBron. And, like, LeBron, from the moment he entered the league, was playing under this can-he-be-the-next-Michael-Jordan conversation. That hung over LeBron from day one. To an extent that it's pushed him to extend his career in a way that is just wouldn't maybe necessarily be quite as worth it, frankly, for other players. The legacy that he's kind of been required to build by so many people, he's leaned into that. He's chased Michael Jordan, and I think that's extended his career, extended what we've seen kind of his prime in a way that it just wouldn't for other guys. And the thing is, you can be a great scorer like Luka, but what is going to happen to Luka and say, like, if he's 38 years old and chasing LeBron's record, and he's like a shell of what he currently is defensively? Like, the fact that LeBron can stay on the floor and be effective at his age, I know it's like kind of a meme. People are like, you have to appreciate this, but it's just beyond remarkable, the consistency, the durability, that I think combining all those factors again from the motivation, the amount of money he spends on his body, the consistency, the ability, etc. I don't think we're going to see it for a long time, if ever.
Yeah, look, let's use Luka as an example. He's got about 1,100 career points. He's played six NBA seasons. By those 11,000,
calculations, I believe you mean.
11,000 career points.
Yes.
1,100 would be a small number. Yeah. By those calculations, he would have to play roughly 18 more seasons to be able to be in the ballpark of passing LeBron James. Now, Luka's 25 years old, but he'd have to play into his early 40s to get within shouting distance of LeBron James. I think you're going to have someone come into the league just like LeBron did, 18 years old, with a three-point line, with a more polished three-point shot, averaging, you know, I'm looking at Luka's numbers, the number of total points Luka had in the season. He maxed out last season at 22 or 2,100 points. You've got to do that and more every single season for 20-plus years to put yourself in that conversation. I don't see it. You never say never, but I think that record is going to be, you know, 4,400, maybe 4,500 by the time, 45,000, I got to stop saying that, 45,000 before it's all said and done. So I think that record is going to hold the test of time for a very long time, that's for sure. All right, I want to talk about a couple of teams, specific teams on this episode. I was in Los Angeles last night, and I popped into the Lakers-Thunder game, kind of hoping that we'd get some kind of virtuoso performance from the Thunder. The Thunder entered that game with the best record in the Western Conference, a half a game up on the Denver Nuggets. They were coming off a back-to-back, that a good win over Phoenix on Sunday. So, you know, it's not all that surprising they didn't play well. And they didn't. Their offense didn't show up. The defense didn't show up. The Lakers kind of tried to give the game away for stretches there with the amount of turnovers they committed, but the Thunder just couldn't take advantage. Still, as we speak, the Thunder have the third most wins of any team in the NBA behind Boston and behind Minnesota. They have a top five offense. They have a top five defense. They have a top five net rating. They have the number one three-point shooting offense in the NBA. Look, Oklahoma City is one of the youngest teams in the NBA. I say one of because they got older at the trade deadline with Gordon Hayward added to the mix, Bismack Biyombo added to the mix. But, you know, at some point we have to start looking at number one or number two seeds as a real contender. So I guess the question is, how seriously should we take Oklahoma City going into this postseason? Are they ripe for a first-round upset, or are they a team that can get to a conference finals?
I definitely lean toward the latter. You mentioned basically everything on paper that would indicate this is a bona fide, legitimate title contender. They've been in the mix for that number one seed all year long alongside Minnesota. Now Denver is kind of making its push as well. They've been incredibly good. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, who's been in my MVP rankings every week, I think he's number two right now and has a great chance to be number one if the Thunder, I think, pull off the one seed. We talked about his consistency last week. He is just remarkable what he does on a nightly basis. You add that to, I think, Chet Holmgren right out of the blocks has been fantastic. The defender everyone thought he could be, and then beyond that, his offensive game, ability to shoot, stretch the floor, etc. Jalen Williams, I think they have a ton of depth. I should say, I really like the pieces around their star players and how they've been able to make it work. I'm personally, though, of the opinion, and this is where it becomes nebulous and people say, oh, you're just doing a take. Like, I agree on paper the Thunder contender legitimate. I do think most teams kind of need that playoff character building loss before they can be true contenders. I mean, very rarely does it happen overnight. Even the Warriors, you know, had a couple runs with Clay, Dre, and Steph before they won a title. The Nuggets lost in the playoffs for years with the Jokic and Murray. You know, go up and down the list of recent champions. Those teams had to experience some playoff heartbreak first. The Thunder have kind of, there's been no middle ground. They've kind of shot into this number one seed territory with Chet being finally healthy this year. You know, no SGA extended injury absences. So do they have kind of the playoff equity to be a champion? Do they know what it's like to be down 3-2 and have to be fighting for your life? I think they need those experiences, but I'd be shocked if this team lost in the first round, and I'd much I'd come much closer to believing them making the finals and losing in the first round.
Well, they're going to play a play-in team in the first round, most likely, either as the number one seed or the number two seed. And the play-in field right now is loaded with teams that have a lot of playoff experience. The Lakers, Golden State, Phoenix. I mean, those teams are in the play-in mix right now. And I think we're going to learn very quickly if experience is as valuable as it has been in the past. To your point, I mean, the 18-19 Nuggets, I think that was their first, one of their first playoff runs. Yeah. They got beat in the second round. It took the Bucks and Giannis 3 years of first round exits to get to their first conference finals. So, you know, history does suggest that experience matters. But for the most part, the teams I just mentioned were in the middle or the bottom of the playoff bracket. Oklahoma City is going to go into the postseason with home court advantage in at least the first round and probably the first two rounds. Their biggest weakness right now is rebounding, and that's a big weakness. I mean, you know, Bismack Biyombo is not the answer. He's not. You're not going to be able to play Bismack Biyombo extended minutes in the postseason. So they're going to have to address that, but their firepower is legit. I mean, Jalen Williams, he could probably be, I don't want to call him a franchise player, but a certainly a cornerstone player on another team. Like
he'd be
is
a number one
really
option
good.
On most teams.
He's a 20-point per game scorer, could easily be a 25-point per game scorer. He's shooting 44% from three. I mean, he is legit. Shea, not many teams you're going to play in the postseason where Shea's not the best player on the floor. And Shea is not a young guy, right? He's been around since 2018. Yeah. Like he doesn't have a lot of playoff experience, just 13 games, but he is not you know, just some wide-eyed rookie or second-year player. Definitely got to be concerned about Chet and what he's going to be able to contribute in the postseason when the physicality ratchets up. But Lu Dort is another guy that has been around for a while and is among the best defensive players in the NBA. So to me, it would be a, I don't want to call it a catastrophe, but it would be a huge disappointment if they lost in the first round. It would probably even be a little disappointing. I don't want to say that because they're probably going to play Denver in the second round and Denver's going to clean their clock. I don't think they match up well with Denver at all. But I looked at this team and I was watching them on TV the last week or so, and I watched them play live on Monday night. I think they can beat everybody in the West but Denver. I think they've got the personnel for it. I just think Denver is a big problem for them. So I think they are a team that should win a first-round series. And depending on the matchup, I'd give them a shot to win a second-round series, too.
Right, yeah. I definitely think they can win in the second round. I'd love to see a Thunder-Timberwolves series, which is in play if they finish in the 2-3 and Denver finishes 1. And I know some people are listening to this like, why are they talking about the Thunder like this? They've been great all season. Of course, they'll win in the first round. I mean, that's just kind of how crazy the West is. I mean, you mentioned some of the teams in the play-in mix. There's a chance they say Luka in round one, Kevin Durant and Devin Booker in round one. Like, those won't be easy matchups. And beyond that, again, we just really haven't seen this group. It's rare to see an ascension from a team this rapidly with this much kind of just internal growth, which makes them such, an outlier from previous contenders that we're used to. But I'm excited. And yeah, I definitely think, I mean, if Denver finishes in second or third, they have a fantastic chance to make the conference finals. And I think they can beat anyone in a series. I do think Denver, they already have an issue with size. Then you add in, you know, Jokic, which no one really has an answer for to begin with. I think that puts them in a bit of a bind. You know, I have to check the roster spot availability. It is surprising that they seemingly haven't done much more to address their center rotation. You mentioned Bismack Biyombo, who I like, but is not really a long-term or even short-term definitive answer there. So that, I think, is going to be an issue. Well, how many rebounds did Nurkic have the other night? Like 30 rebounds?
Yeah, they're in that game against the Suns? On the glass.
Yeah, they made him look like.
And look, you know, Davis beat him up on the glass a little bit in that Laker game.
I mean, the Lakers have matched up well with them, and the Lakers have that size and physicality in their front court. I think they're up 3-1 on the Thunder in their season series. So,
Yeah, no, that's a tough matchup. I just think in the playoffs, and look, last night, the Lakers were rested. The Thunder were not. That has to be taken in. Lakers were at home. Thunder are going to have home court in a series like that. I just think it would be disappointing if they lost a first-round series. Got the hard sell, too, from Thunder officials Monday night for Shea for MVP. You know, my take on Shea's MVP is if Oklahoma City finishes with the top seed in the Western Conference, I don't know how you don't vote for him because, yeah, he's got talent around him, but it's really young talent. He's the unquestioned star of that team who has pushed them, not single-handedly, but he has pushed them from a play-in team last year to potentially the number one seed in the Western Conference. A long way to go with this MVP stuff, but I can wrap my head around the idea that if the Thunder finish first in the West, pretty good chance Shea gets my vote. Pretty good chance.
I have a hard time disagreeing with you about Shea winning MVP if they finish number one. And I say that as someone, I think Jokic is the best player in the league. He's the kind of person you could kind of give the award to over and over again. But to your point, it's like Jokic also plays for a fantastic team. I mean, Denver built the perfect starting five around him. And I don't think, you know, as great as Chet and Jalen Williams have been, I don't think people expected everything that they're doing right away. And it starts with Shea. It starts with his consistency. It starts with how difficult he is to defend. So I think he's also going to have a fantastic case. And I'm with you. I mean, if they finish one and there's even a little bit of separation there, like, he's going to have an incredible, incredible case for the award.
Look, and you could probably make the same argument for Jokic. I mean, Denver right now is the exact same record as Oklahoma City. So if the Nuggets, who have been hot lately, who decided, you know, second half's here, time to play.
He just decided to care, yeah.
Yeah, if they turn it on and finish with number one in the West, and they're only a half game back of Minnesota for that top spot, you know, it's probably Jokic's MVP award to ultimately lose. So it's going to come down to the last game of the regular season, perhaps, as we wrap up the MVP race.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel, it's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Let's talk about Milwaukee again for a minute. Bucks beat the Clippers on Monday night. No Giannis in that game. No Chris Middleton in that game. And Damian Lillard goes for 41. Bobby Portis goes for 28. This Bucks team has now won, what, six straight games. And over the last six games, they have the number one defense in the NBA. I don't know if that's sustainable, if they can maintain a number one defense, but they don't have to be the number one defensive team in the NBA. All they have to be is like a top 10, top 12 defensive team in the NBA, and they are going to be tough to beat because you watch Lillard just, hey, look, Giannis is out, you take over. Did it against a good Clippers team. Middleton hasn't played in weeks, not since Doc Rivers really took over. He's going to add something to that mix offensively. They, you know, there is life in Milwaukee. Like, the, you know, a team that was once on life support is now showing signs that they can get back to being the team that we thought they were going to be in the preseason. So when you look at the Bucks and the way they played under Doc Rivers, do you see this as sustainable?
It's great you should ask that, Chris, because I actually wrote about the Bucks today, and I don't think number one defense is sustainable. They played Charlotte twice. They played Chicago during kind of this six-game win streak. At the same time, they have wins against the Wolves. This Clippers win was especially impressive. I think the Clippers had won 9 straight against Dame specifically, so really big game for him. Here's the thing. Like you mentioned, they don't need to be the number one defense. I looked this up. Since 2010, only 2 teams with a defensive rating outside the top 10 have won a championship. One was the Warriors, who, you know, they had Steph. The other was the Nuggets last year. They had Jokic. The Nuggets had the lowest defensive efficiency of any title winner since 2010, and that was 15th. But we saw what they were able to do in the playoffs. They went up to another level, and they kind of slow played the end of last regular season. Milwaukee, as it stands today, after their 6th straight win, 15th in defensive rating. They've kind of met that threshold of the lowest possible, I'd say, defensive rating we could accept out of a champion. They're number one over the last 6 games. Top 10 now since Doc took over in late January. And they've been really good. And I think that we touched on this a little bit last week, but I think Adrian Griffin expected the team to defend a certain way with certain personnel. The Lillard trade happens. Things change. But I think Doc has them playing more to their identity. I think has shrunk the floor a little bit instead of having players cover more ground that I think Griffin wanted to do. Players playing a little bit closer to the rim. They've also just kind of, I think, really changed their approach to transition defense, less crashing the offensive glass, which has made a huge difference. I mean, all year long, they've been in the bottom of transition defense standings. I think that started to look a little bit better. You know, I don't think this current top number one defense is sustainable. You know, it's like weird because they win this game without Giannis, and it's very impressive. And I don't want to take anything away from it. At the same time, you're like, how much can I take away from this game that they win without Giannis and Middleton? But overall, they're absolutely headed in the right direction. And I think now is like the first time all season that I've felt comfortable saying that they can win a title with their defense.
Yeah, I'm with you that it's not going to be the number one defense or number two defense, or maybe not even top five defense by the time the season's over. But you know, this is why they went out and got Damian Lillard, because they were missing a dynamic number two option opposite of Giannis. And you look at Lillard's numbers of late, they're starting to pick up a little bit. The shooting percentages in some games are getting a little bit better. The pick and roll game with Giannis is getting more consistent. Like Doc took a pretty good beating early on, and a lot of it was some of the stuff he said. Like he put it on himself by, you know, saying things like, it's, you know, I wouldn't wish this job on anybody, when he's collecting like $40 billion and he's taking over a great team. And just some of the overall criticisms that he had for that group. But he's been the right fit for them. He's simplified things on both ends of the floor. I think he's brought a level of gravitas to that locker room they didn't have before. He has been a good fit with that Milwaukee team. Look, they've got a game against Boston coming up, I think on the 20th. Mm-hmm. That to me is, that's a playoff game. Like that's for the sure. Barometer right there. I mean, because by then they probably should have Chris Middleton back. The Celtics right now operating at close to full strength. That's a game that I think we'll learn a lot more about Milwaukee. But right now, they're the only team I think is a real threat to Boston in the Eastern Conference. Like I look around, like, you know, even without the injuries, the Knicks to me are still a player away from being able to compete against the Celtics. The Cavaliers are what they are. I still can't trust them when they get to the playoffs. Philadelphia, look, they're good, but you know, tell me Joel Embiid is going to be healthy, and I don't know the answer to that just yet. Besides, even when he is healthy, Celtics own the 76ers. It's a fact. Like they've beaten them up pretty good the last 4 or 5 years. So I think Milwaukee's the only team that can threaten Boston, and we'll see. We'll see if they have it in them. They've come as far as they look like they've come in this game coming up in just a couple of weeks against the Celtics. One other thing I want to touch on.
Hold on, real quick. You're just ready to incur the wrath of Heat Twitter. Not even a obligatory mention.
Yes. My fault. Do you want to?
No, I don't. Right. I don't.
Do you want to make the case for the Miami Heat to be a threat to win the Eastern Conference this year?
I do not. In fact, I do not. And I will just say, just to your point,
Milwaukee Patty Mills, huge difference maker now. Ready to play.
He will hit like 6 threes in a game against some poor team that's just going to be furious about it.
All right, no, 8-2 in their last 10 games. So yeah. Miami's playing well, and as we saw last year, it really doesn't matter what seed they get. Mm-hmm. That's look. If the playoffs start today, I know they've got to go through the play-in in the East, but Miami right now sitting at 7th, Milwaukee at 2, running it back from last year. That's probably not the matchup Milwaukee wants in that first round.
I think they'd probably prefer
Indiana,
yeah.
Chicago, Atlanta, maybe even Orlando in the first round because Orlando can't score. I can see some teams not wanting any interest in playing Miami in the first round.
I will just say to your point about the Bucks and about as it relates to the rest of the Eastern Conference, they are the only team with the star level talent that can compete with the star level talent.
Yes.
The Celtics has that they can confidently say we have the best two guys on the floor even, and that goes a long way in a playoff series.
I agree.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts. If you dare.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Last thing, I want to look at the bottom half of the playoff bracket in the Western Conference. Like I said, you've got four teams there that have either been championship teams in recent years or high-level playoff contenders. Sacramento, which was the 3 seed in the Western Conference last year, they're sitting there at number 7. Dallas, which has some serious star power in its backcourt, made some good trades before the deadline. They're at 8. The Lakers at 9, and Golden State, who was tattooed by 50-plus against Boston, but they're still the Warriors. They've still got some star power. Of those four teams, if you had to pick one to make a deep playoff run, which, you know, I guess in the context of this is win a first-round series, because that first-round series is going to be a matchup against Minnesota, Oklahoma City, Denver, maybe the Clippers. Which of those teams do you have the most faith in to flip a switch and become a second-round playoff team?
Understanding that there are really no good bets here, if I had to go, you know, 2022 Mannix mode and just kind of really hitch my wagon to one of these teams, I think I'm going to pick the Warriors. You know, you mentioned the Celtics blowout. They're missing Pods. They're missing Wiggins right now, who's dealing with a personal matter once again. Significant.
Can I just say
issues.
One thing about that Celtic game? Like, there's an incredible amount of brain power on that Golden State bench. Steve Kerr, Kenny Atkinson, among others. Their strategy against the Celtics, with all that brain power, was to leave an all-NBA guard who's shooting 36.5% from three for his career wide open. Like, that was the strategy to beat the Boston Celtics. Like, if you needed more evidence to believe in Boston, the Golden State Warriors decided the best game plan was to leave Jaylen Brown open. Like, if that's all you got, you're not going to have much success.
To your point, I think a lot of people were like laughing. This is a terrible strategy. What are they thinking? You know, Jaylen Brown tweeting about it after the game. To your point, those are the kinds of problems the Celtics present to people.
And they didn't even have Porzingis in that game.
It's
they were
true.
Playing without a 20-point-per-game scoring three-point threat.
Right. who happens to be 7 feet tall, so you can't even switch your clothes out on him. But to your point, I kind of like respect the Warriors for being like, F it. We got to try something. We know how many threes these teams are going to shoot. Maybe it ended up being not the best strategy, but maybe, those are the problems.
Maybe hitting the iceberg wasn't great for the Titanic. Like,
I just respect that they were willing to, you know, give it a shot, knowing that they were a little bit undermanned and how difficult the Celtics are to slow down in the first place. It says a lot about how difficult Boston is for these teams to prepare for, but I just like the way the Warriors have looked since Draymond came back and was starting at center full time. I think the fact that they've shown a willingness now to move Klay Thompson to the bench, he's had some nice performances since being in that role. They've been willing to experiment. They've been willing to kind of push their chips into the table a little bit. Listen, it's going to depend on is Wiggins going to miss 20 games? Is he going to come back in two? We don't know, and that's looming all over this. But if they're healthy, I mean, we saw it last year with that Kings series. You know, the Warriors had a terrible season, and we saw it with the Kings last year. They were kind of the darling of the NBA. The Warriors had a season from hell that started with the Jordan Poole incident, more like the Draymond Green incident. And they pushed him to seven games, and in the game seven, Steph Curry puts on a legendary performance, and the Warriors win. So I just think Steph is still at that level, still that guy. I like the way they've looked with Draymond at center. If I had to pick, like, you know, which team kind of has that mystique that can get into someone's heads in the first round, I think it's still Golden State.
Look, we have to acknowledge that the teams that any of those bottom four teams are likely to play in the first round are not traditional dominant 1-2 teams. I mean, Minnesota right now has the best record in the West. But if you ask around the league about the vulnerabilities of Minnesota, you can have a 15-minute conversation about that, about whether or not in a postseason series you can play Rudy Gobert and Karl-Anthony Towns together, whether or not Anthony Edwards can be a closer in a playoff situation.
I mean,
there are just a lot of questions.
They've had fourth-quarter offensive issues, to
yes,
your point. Like,
they have. I know I was reading John Krasinski wrote about that over at The Athletic recently, just kind of the way they've malfunctioned as of late in the fourth quarter. We talked about Oklahoma City, really talented, not a high level of experience. The team that I think has the best chance of making a run is the team I leaned into last year, and that's the Lakers. I'm not going to sit here and predict a Lakers conference finals or a Lakers finals appearance this year. I'm not as confident in this group. You know, they've stagnated in certain ways. The injuries have obviously been a problem, but in a postseason series, if you've got a defense that in the past has been good enough to keep games close, and if you can keep these games within like three possessions in the final 5 minutes, you've got the two best players on the floor in those situations, in LeBron and Anthony Davis. Like, you're still going to have one of the great closers in NBA history in LeBron. You've got one of the great defensive players right now in Anthony Davis, and a guy that can dominate in the paint. And look, the Lakers have had some stumbles as of late. They lost coming out of the All-Star break against the Warriors. They lost to the Clippers. They lost the Nuggets. But in between then, they've got some wins there. You know, you've got a win over the Clippers. Sorry, they lost the Suns. They got a win over the Clippers. Beat Washington. Beat Oklahoma City last night. So they're also starting to get healthy with some of these guys coming back. Cam Reddish came back recently. You know, we saw reports on Tuesday that Gabe Vincent could be back at some point mid-March. Another rotation player they can add to the mix. I just think they're the kind of team that can be good enough defensively to keep games close. And the playoffs against inexperienced teams, if you've got LeBron and AD, you're going to give yourself a better than puncher's chance to win. So I'm going to lean into the Lakers as being the most likely of those four teams at the bottom right now to win a postseason series.
You know, it's hard to argue with that logic. As kind of unscary as they've been for large stretches this season, as average as they've felt, I'm with you. Like, 6 minutes to go in a playoff game, you have LeBron and AD. You know, even as like brash as the Timberwolves have been in some of these matchups, as confident as I think Shea and the Thunder are, it's just going to be interesting to watch. And maybe we'll, you know, be spectacularly wrong, and this is a true changing of the guard, and these teams don't matter at all anymore. But I'm excited to see it. I'm excited to see it because I do think that they that's kind of like the mental challenge of the playoffs that these young teams are going to have to overcome, is staring into a guy like LeBron or Steph, knowing the experience that they've had, the amount of times they come through on a big stage. Can you fight through whatever level of intimidation comes with that? And win is going to be really interesting. When will it be time, by the way, to unveil the official Mannix prediction of 2024?
I don't really have a fire one yet. Like last year, right around this time, I was, you know, ready to throw flames with the Lakers. I don't really have one yet.
I'd like to,
you know, look, I love what I've seen from Milwaukee, but I can't pick the Bucks against the Celtics. Not now. Mm. You know, the Celtics are as well-oiled a machine as they come. So look, we talked about parity in the NBA, and there is parity, but right now the Celtics are prohibitive favorites to win the East. I would make Denver a prohibitive favorite right now to win the West. So even though you've got a lot of teams with close to identical records who should make for some fun first and second round series, right now smart money's on Boston and Denver, and that's not exactly parity. Like, that's the two teams that have been playing dominant basketball, at least in the case of Boston all season, and Denver in the last few weeks. Not the parity I think people have been boasting about as of late.
Can I get a quick temperature check on Boston? Like, is there just supreme confidence that there's no roadblocks here? Because I think there's, like, I don't know how you argue any other team to win the East right now, like, coherently, that's not just pure takery, but I'm curious if that's the way people are feeling around Boston. Like, is there
there's a good
confidence
vibe.
Or
there's a good vibe. I mean, there's perpetual concern about Porzingis' ability to stay healthy in the playoffs. That's always going to be a concern, but I think the Celtics have done a nice job shutting him down at the first sign of potential trouble. So when you get to the playoffs, you're playing at best every other day, oftentimes with 2 days in between. That bodes well for his ability to play in the postseason. And look, I've said this recently, but like, everybody on that Celtics roster is a little bit better, right? Like, Jason Tatum, even though he's not scoring at the level he was last year, is a little bit better than what he was last year, a more complete player than what he was last year. Jaylen Brown can make the same argument. Numbers aren't exactly the same as what they were in last year or years past, but a more complete player, I think, this year. Jrue Holiday, he's a better player for this team than Marcus Smart was. Like, he fits better with this group. So at that position, they're a little bit better. And Porzingis is new to the mix, but Joe Mazzulla, we don't hear a lot about the Joe Mazzulla gaffes anymore. We don't hear a lot about, you know, why isn't he calling this timeout? You know, why is he doing this with his rotation? Yeah, every 6 weeks or so, the team goes like 10 for 50 from three-point range, and people are like, why are you shooting so many threes? But they shoot so many threes because they're a top-five efficiency team, and they're able to do to Golden State.
Open three after open three.
Just drill them. Like, their margin of victory over the last five games is like 35 points. It's wild how they're not just beating teams, they're bludgeoning them right now. Their overall margin of victory is like an NBA best, like plus 11, plus 12. And that's like 3 or 4 points ahead of anybody else in the NBA. So I don't think there's any cause for concern right now in Boston. They're just cruising along. And, you know, if Milwaukee can show that they can beat them, more power to them. But I think we're a long way from ultimately believing that. So
I agree. And I just hope if they do lose, you're in the press conference asking Jason Tatum if the season was a failure or not.
Yes, I try not to ask those black or white questions.
Yeah.
Was it a failure? Do you deserve MVP now?
Yeah.
That's my line of questioning. All right, Rohan, we will be back here next week. Until then, enjoy the games.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.